10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. Thanks for being here for our service. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning and those who are watching the service recorded later online. Thanks for joining us. We celebrate today the first Sunday of Lent. So here we go, moving through the season of Lent, constantly reminded of our Lord's sacrifice for us, his forgiveness that he won by his own shedding of his blood on the cross, and for the loving God that we have who would save us from sin and death. Our service this morning begins with our opening hymn, our hymn of invocation. That hymn is 809, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And as we reach the last verse of that hymn, we do invite the congregation to please stand if you're able on the last verse this morning. So let's sing together hymn 809, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise, and assure us that all our sins are forgiven through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit today from Hebrews chapter 12. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We continue with our Kyrie this morning.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson this morning on our first Sunday of the season of Lent comes from the book of Genesis in the 22nd chapter. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson from the book of James, the first chapter. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand now, if you're able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time, we invite the congregation to confess with us the Apostles' Creed. It begins there at the bottom of page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated. We invite you now to join us in singing our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn 657, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It seemed incomplete to Isaac. He told Abraham in verse 7 from our reading in Genesis 22, as they walked up the mountain, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" Isaac didn't know what God had planned, neither did Abraham, really. Although it is interesting, if you look with me, in the text, in verse 5, when Abraham speaks to his servants, the men that he brought with him to carry the, or to stay with the donkey, while him and Isaac went up on the mountain, in verse 5, he tells those servants, "Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.'" That entire sentence is in the plural. So when he says, "I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you," that verb "come again" is in the plural. So he knows something's up, I guess. Because it doesn't say, "I and the boy will go over there and worship, and I will come back to you," even though he'd been told to sacrifice Isaac to God. Maybe Abraham just didn't want to frighten the young men there with the donkey waiting on them by telling them that his intention was to go up the mountain and slay his son. Or maybe Abraham, knowing who God is, he knew he could trust God, even when the situation seemed impossible. Even when the circumstances that he was in that moment didn't seem as though they could work out in any possible way to save Isaac, maybe he knew God would always provide. That's what he ended up naming the place up there on the Mount Moriah. He named it, "The Lord Will Provide." But Isaac didn't know what was planned. Well, neither did all Israel, for that matter. But in this text, God is foretelling the mighty works that he himself will do with his only son, Jesus. He spares Abraham's son, as we heard the account, verses 10 to 12, when Abraham actually follows through with this command. He goes up on the mountain with Isaac. He binds his only son. He lays him on top of the wood. And then he takes up the knife in his hand to finish the job. But then, verse 11's salvation from heaven, as the angel speaks from heaven and says, "Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." I bet by that point, Isaac had figured out what was going on. And fear probably had gripped his heart to the point of sheer terror. I'll bet he was thinking he was being punished for everything bad he'd ever done. But God would not let it happen. You know, sometimes we're a lot like Isaac in this story. We're carrying a heavy load in this life, and we're trying to get to the top of some mountain. I don't know what yours is that you're climbing this morning, but we're all climbing up some mountain, and all that gets accomplished is we end up bound to our lusts and our desires and our bellies and about to be sacrificed to some false idol that we've been unknowingly serving. We've been wondering with every step of our journey if we really have what we need. And when bad things come, we feel like we're being punished for our sins, and we look for other things to hope in because we're not exactly sure, if we're honest, of what Abraham was sure of. Will the Lord really provide for me? So we take matters into our own hands. At least this is the normal way. And we hear this kind of talk all the time. People talking according to the idea of karma. What goes around comes around. It's like we don't know who God is. Like we can't see his loving heart towards people, even in our text this morning. Do we trust his promise? The Lord will provide. This passage shows us that if we're thinking the karma way, that it's backwards. God's not going to require that the children of men pay the price and be sacrificed for sin. He loves us too much. He will provide on this mountain, right? And on the flip side of that, when good things happen in our lives, where we sense his provision, who do we give the credit to for those good things that come our way? Many people will say, "Thank you, Lord, for the blessings." But somewhere deep down in the depths of us, there's this sneaking suspicion that we also had something to do with the blessings that came our way. At least to some degree, we've got to be praised a bit for our own successes in life. Deep down inside, we think this verse makes sense. God helps those who help themselves. Many a Christian to understand the Bible that way. Only problem, that's not a Bible verse. That verse is nowhere in the scripture. God helps those who help themselves. Did you know the Barna, are familiar with the Barna Research Group? They do lots of polling and researching in our country. The Barna Research Group found that, believe it or not, that supposed Bible verse, "God helps those who help themselves," was one of the most well-known Bible verses in the whole country. When in fact it's not even in the Bible at all. And the Bible doesn't teach the message of that statement at all either. Not even a little bit. Did you know it was written in the year 1698? I looked it up. By Algernon Sidney, and he was a political theorist, and he wrote it in his writing called Discourses Concerning Government. I wonder why so many people in our country started thinking it was a Bible verse. Because at some level, we want the credit for the good that we do, for the blessings that we have. This is a sin-sick pride. And it was furthered by ignorant preachers on the American frontier of our country. And those basic concepts soaked in to people's lives and families and minds and teachings and down through generations of ideology in our country. Selfish ideology that doesn't say thank you to God for what we have, but says thank you to me or to you. But it follows then, the logic does, if we're due any portion of the credit for the good that we do, then we also must be to blame to some degree when bad things come our way. And these presuppositions are the basic fundamental framework for karma, not for Christianity. And to those whose eyes are closed to faith, it makes perfect sense. But friends, the Bible isn't teaching this at all. I'll get a little fired up on this. I'll try not to get too fired up, right? The Bible teaches plainly and clearly, without a doubt, that God is a God of mercy, of grace, of pure unmerited favor, of forgiveness. He's that to such a degree that what he asks Abraham to do in our reading, he won't even make him follow through with it. Instead, he would take on himself, God I mean, to actually sacrifice his own son, Jesus, for you and for me. Just like in the reading from Genesis, when Abraham looked at Isaac and said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice, my son. That was prophetic, friends. That's a prophecy out of Abraham's mouth. God will provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice, my son. And then, in verse 13, look just real quick, if you would, look at verse 13 with me. It's incredible. Once all this takes place and the angel shows up and says, Abraham, Abraham, don't touch the boy. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Do you think that it's a coincidence that you've got the ram there with his head in a crown of thorns? It's not, friends. This is a foretelling of the truth of what would happen to Jesus. He's speaking prophetically of what's come to us in Christ. It's amazing to see the gospel foretold some 2,000 and change years before Jesus was crucified on the pages of Genesis 22. And that's not to mention, and I know some of you know this, but it's not to mention the fact that the hill that Isaac was carrying the wood on his back up is the same hill that Jesus carried the wood of his cross up on his back. Exact same place. Isaac was clueless what was going to happen to him as he walked up that mount. But our Savior Jesus was not clueless. Not at all. In fact, he told his disciples on many occasions what we find in Mark 9, verse 30 to 32. Jesus and his disciples went on from there, the text says, and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he's killed, after 3 days he will rise. Jesus had to face the horror, the sheer terror of this reality. And get this. Full well knowing what was coming to him, he did it anyways for you and for me. And when that moment came, when the hands of sinful men were raised to slaughter Jesus, God sent no angel to stop it. Jesus himself said in Matthew 26, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? It was an option to get out of it. But how should the scriptures be fulfilled? Jesus asks. That's who our God is. I don't know if you've been wondering, or if the week has gotten hectic enough, or the stuff that's come your way this week has made it confusing again, or you start wondering, who is our God? Why is this happening? Why does that look like it might happen? I mean, that's the thought you can get just by turning on the news. This is who our God is. His love for us knows no bounds. He faced what he had to face on purpose, full well knowing that he could get out of it, and yet nothing on heaven and earth was going to stop it. And this is the message that he wants us to know and trust this morning without a doubt. It's found in this phrase that Abraham uses to name this place where God doesn't have him sacrifice his own son, and to name the place where God will sacrifice his own son. The name of the place is in verse 14. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. For us too. For us too. When we face each day the world's joys and the world's sorrows, we meet every celebration, we meet every challenge. Let us not do this under compulsion or in a karma-like attempt to guarantee something good in return for ourselves, but rather let us face each day knowing full well the Lord will provide. No matter what we're going into. This is a beautiful, beautiful truth and promise that God gives to us. I don't know what everybody's facing, even here this morning. I know what some people are facing, but I don't know what everybody's facing. Some of you know what I'm facing. Some of you probably don't. But this is the promise. This is what he wants you to leave this morning from church knowing. That no matter what it is, like Abraham when he's told by God, that was the word of God that told him to go kill Isaac. I mean, it's almost like he can't turn to God because God's the one who told him to do it. He can't do it. What's he going to do? It seems like there's no way out. He wants you to leave knowing this. The Lord will provide. Grab it, hear it, hold on to it. It's his message for you today. May all that we do and say be oriented not towards who our deeds make us, but rather, may our deeds in this world done in the body be offered to God, because he showed us who he was and in the cross of Jesus. He showed us how much he loves us in the cross of Jesus. And this morning I'd like to be done with my sermon, but end it with something that actually is in the Bible, with a real Bible passage. It comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 31 through 39. What shall we say to these things, the apostle says? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect, against you? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, or whatever you're dealing with, or whatever I'm dealing with, separate us? As it is written, he goes on, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, nothing will separate us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the love of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we come to the point of our service where we offer our prayers in the prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, in the midst of this life, we are beset by many temptations. Fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus, who bore temptation for us and resisted to the point of death and brings us through the evils of this fallen world to dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you placed the wood of the cross on the back of your only begotten Son, that as the promised offspring of Abraham, he might possess the gates of hell. Bless, we pray, his church, for we're all members of it by grace through faith. We pray you bless all those who are called to preach or teach within the church. Give them certainty that hell cannot prevail against them, and so embolden them in faith to trample every power of the enemy underfoot. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, preserve all students and their teachers. Lord, especially those in catechism and those who teach it. Preserve all children and their parents and every Christian home from the assaults of the evil one. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ and his word. Lord, in your mercy. O Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes down to us from above, keep us, Lord, from being enticed by our own desires to misuse the gifts that you give. Help us to use them rightly in service to you and our neighbor. We pray you'd bless Joseph, our president, and all our leaders, that we may be governed wisely and justly for the good of this present generation and for the good of those generations to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Most high God, our refuge in every trouble, you've promised to hear us when we call to you. You promised us this morning that you will provide. Command your angels, we pray, to guard us and our brothers and sisters and anyone who's suffering in our midst. We name before you from the altar this morning the family of Vicky Chrism, her husband John, the rest of the family as well. We lift up to you Emily Johnson for a healthy pregnancy and her family. We lift up Pam Rice and John Brownell and Ava Hoffman and Michelle Sechrist and Willadell Erke, Robert Hagedorn, Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Jim and Linda Holman, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg, Chris, and Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, keep them from every evil that can befall the body, mind, or soul. And Lord, also remind them and encourage them with the words, the Lord will provide. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, the time is fulfilled and your kingdom is at hand. As your beloved Son told us this morning on the pages of the Gospel of Mark. And Lord, he's also come to be with us here in this fellowship and at this altar. By your Spirit, grant that we receive him in repentance and believe the gospel proclaimed in his body given and in his blood shed for us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks about us as a roaring lion seeking to devour us on every side. We beg you, for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy would not prevail over us in any circumstance, but instead that we may abide evermore in your grace and be preserved in the mighty fortress that is your word to life everlasting through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We've come to the time in our service when our offerings are collected and presented. As we collect the offerings and bring them up for a blessing, we invite you to join us in singing stanzas 1, 4, and 6 of hymn 602, The Gifts Christ Freely Gives, and that hymn is provided for you in your bulletin at the top of page 8. Let's sing together. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings and send you with his peace and the promise the Lord will provide. And this we hope by the grace of our God who keeps his promises. If you're gathered in the sanctuary with us this morning, we invite you to turn to the top of page 9 in your bulletin. And we invite the congregation also to please stand, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.